If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Austin Berg's on the line. Hi, Austin. How are you?
Hi, John. Doing well. Staying dry.
Austin's with the Illinois Policy Institute. He also writes a pretty good Substack called The Last Ward. You can click on thelastward.org. That actually gets you there, right, Austin?
That's right.
He's also a member of our Mincing Rascals podcast panel, where we talk about things like Chicago and Donald Trump and the Chicago Bears. And in this case, I guess we'll have to talk today, although we did a little bit already, about why you can't get a Chicago-style hot dog cart in Chicago. This is a piece in the Washington Post today, isn't it?
Yeah, I wrote about it 2 weeks ago in The Last Ward, so subscribers there got it first, and The Washington Post reached out and thought it would be interesting for their readers nationally because it is comical. We are known for the Chicago-style hot dog, and yet you cannot buy it from a cart on a city sidewalk anywhere in the city.
That notwithstanding, are we an outlier? That is, do other cities have more liberal policies about selling food on the street?
They certainly do. I actually led the piece because it was Washington Post with an amazing story. You might have seen this, John. It was like on the Today Show. There's a bunch of national media attention on it. This man named Isaac Stein in D.C., he was a furloughed IRS tax attorney, and he had dreamt since he was a boy of starting a hot dog stand. So he started this hot dog stand called Shyster's Dog, and he will prepare you a hot dog the correct way, which is brown mustard and sauerkraut for $10, or the wrong way, and the wrong way is any other topping, and that's $11. And it's been this huge hit, and that would not be allowed in Chicago. But food carts, just across American history, especially in cities, they have been very much a vehicle of entrepreneurial ambition for people, mostly immigrants, not IRS tax attorneys. And even in Chicago, in Chicago's early history, we had these as well, but we just don't today.
Why not?
We don't for a couple of reasons. One is that brick and mortar restaurant interests, I would say more moneyed brick and mortar restaurant interests, have lobbied against it for many years. But there was enough community support, especially for tamale vendors who have been in the news more recently because of the ICE raids in Chicago. But in 2015, there was a license started, and the city council said, look, we are doing something about this problem. But 10 years later, there's only 14 of those licenses across the city.
Really?
None of them are for hot dog carts. And the reason nobody wants these licenses is because you can't prepare food on a cart. That's what the rules say. And preparation means putting a topping on a hot dog or dispensing coffee from an urn. That counts as preparing. You can't do that on a cart. Thus, we have no carts.
So in the guise, it sounds like, of food safety, you can sell food, but you can't be preparing it on the street. That'd be dangerous. And they include preparing food as even applying mustard to a hot dog?
That's right. Yeah. Any kind of topping on a hot dog, dispensing a beverage from a container, that's preparing. And other cities have figured out how to do this safely. I mean, New York City is actually the most extreme example. You don't have to be New York City level street food, but they have 7,000 licensed food cart vendors in New York City. They also have a healthy brick and mortar restaurant scene. And by the way, they are increasing that by hundreds of licenses every year due to a new law they passed just last year.
Sounds like a John Hansen question of the day. New York has 7,000, Chicago has 14. What are they? And it's licensed street cart food vendors. And
that's right.
And you do see the Mexican snacks, fruits, desserts, foods, sometimes around the Bean, around the lakefront. I don't know if those are licensed per se, but there does seem to be a market for that kind of food. But it would seem to me like if you put a hot dog cart over by the Thompson Center, Daly Plaza, State Street, Michigan Avenue, I would love it for the ambiance, let alone the food.
It's iconic, right? I mean, outside of the Met in New York City, there's been a disabled veteran who's known as the Hot Dog King of New York who has a hot dog cart there. And you kind of associate it with street life in the city. And you don't have to have it completely crowded on sidewalks. I mean, you can regulate these things in a rational way. And you would think also that I think it fits very well with sort of progressive rhetoric, too, because these hot dog carts, these guys do not have a lot of working capital. They're trying to start out an idea. They don't have a zoning attorney. They don't have a lobbyist.
Right.
But it's sort of the bottom rung of the economic ladder, and we should allow people to grip onto that rung because they could be the next Vienna Beef or the next Portillo's.
And they started out as carts, right?
Yeah. Vienna Beef started as a stand at the World's Columbian Exposition in the Austrian exhibit because it was two immigrant brothers-in-law from that part of the world. And then, Portillo started as, I believe it's called the Dog Shack in Villa Park. And if you look at a picture of that thing, it looks like a health inspector's nightmare. I mean, it's like it's a trailer, 6 by 12 feet. They're getting water from a hose. And that turned into a massive business called Portillo's due to Dick Portillo's hard work.
Yeah, fast forward. Now you've got the best chocolate cake in the world and chopped salad.
That's right.
Is a monetary issue as well? What would one of those licenses cost somebody?
Right now, the licenses are not that expensive. When they started, they were in the hundreds of dollars. Now they've lowered the price a bit. But nobody wants to pay anything for a license to not be able to sell anything. That's the real barrier now. I mean, if you made it workable, you could charge a lot for the license. And I think that would actually be okay. You don't want to make it completely unattainable for people. But, I mean, you are using public land, so I think that's important. You should pay for that. But again, we just shut this out completely and don't allow it at all.
I don't run a restaurant, but do you think if I did have the Malnati's on Michigan Avenue, which they fought to get a little sign out front in the Wrigley Building, or we don't even have that many storefront restaurants really in the city, but do you think they would fight this if we asked our city council to liberalize the rules?
I think it depends on the restaurant owner. That industry is among the most competitive industries there is in the world. And you would think as a restaurant owner, they would welcome the competition. And in fact, a restaurant owner, if they think a cart would be lucrative, should start a cart and make money off of it. I am very sympathetic, though, to those brick and mortar restaurant owners who say, look, I've got so much red tape to deal with and such high taxes in this city. Where's my relief? So I think you absolutely should pair, if you're allowing food carts, which you definitely should, you should also make it easier to run a brick-and-mortar restaurant in Chicago. There's many rules you could change there.
Less than a minute left here, Austin, but respond to these sorts of texts. Don't you worry about food poisoning with people having a food cart? Another one says, unsanitary conditions to buy street food. Where do the vendors wash their hands after using the alley to the bathroom? Okay, people don't like or trust maybe the sanitation requirements here. What do you think?
Yeah, you can require, a lot of food carts have sinks on them, so you can have places where people wash their hands. Also, a lot of times people's hands don't need to actually touch the food. And again, I would just point to, there's food carts in many cities across America. And Chicagoans are not uniquely unsanitary. So I think we can figure out how to regulate these. And here's the alternative, right? Is people do this anyway, and it's entirely unregulated. And that's what we have in Chicago. We did a study at this at the Illinois Policy Institute in 2015. We found 1,500 food cart vendors. None of them have a license. None of them have a license. That's not sanitary.
That's Austin Berg. You can read his Substack, The Last Ward. Click on thelastward.org if you like. You can read him in the Washington Post today. 312 says, I would say that Chicago is a much cleaner city than New York in terms of preparing food on the street. I wouldn't buy street food in New York, but definitely would in Chicago, says Sandy. Thank you, Sandy. Problem is, you'll be hard-pressed to find it. Austin, we'll talk to you on the Mincing Rascals next, and we'll invite folks to go to The Last Ward. Thank you.
Thank you, John.